Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Colleen with Daytime After Dark. I am so happy to be back on the radio. This summer we are going to do things a little differently. We won't be on every week. You know, it's the summertime, and unlike last summer, we had four to eight people. No, actually for a week. And so this summer, we are going to try and relax even more. I did not go anywhere. So tonight's guest, oh my God, I'm probably going to fangirl out a little, but we have Paul Michael Barry. He's been on At the Returns, Guiding Light, One Life to Live, Law and Order SUV, but he did awesome on and blah blah. So let me bring him on.
Hello.
Hey, Paul. Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. I have been like a fan of yours ever since, I don't know how long. Because if I say how long, it's going to really age me. So, but put this way, I started watching soaps when I was eight. So, yes, blame it on my grandmother. Yeah. I blame her too. But, so, yeah, and I've always loved your acting. And, you know, I mean, you've been on so many great TV shows. I mean, you know, when I was looking at, like, the whole list, like, I couldn't name all your TV shows. Oh, our time would be up, basically. But, so, let's go back. So, why did you want to become an actor? Because you are so good at becoming an actor.
That's kind of you. It sounds odd, but it's actually the only thing that people said good things about me. I was mediocre at almost everything else, and the only thing that I actually got a pat on my back for from the world was acting. So, you know, I kept doing it. That's pretty much, that's why I became an actor. There wasn't this tremendous passion. There wasn't a desire for fame or it was pretty much just what I did well and what the world recognized. And so I just kept doing it.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you kept doing it because, and like, you know what? You need to be back on daytime, period. I don't care what the way it is at this point. I feel they need you. I feel the American people, dang it, need you back on daytime because, number one, you're cute and handsome. And, you know, you're a great actor, and you've been on TV. I mean, daytime, primetime, movies, you've been everywhere. So my opinion is, would you like to go back to daytime ever?
Of course. I think that I'm very grateful for the opportunities that I've gotten in the industry and in television and on the stage and in daytime. I'm absolutely very, very much I like working. You know, I like being an actor. I like being with people. I think that it's not just that it's a competitive industry. I just think that there are certain circumstances that, you know, that ask you to be on a show, or, you know, when you show up and something is right, it works out in your favor. It's not something that I can just sort of like, you know, knock on the door and demand entry. But it's, you know, if the industry would ever ask me back, if a daytime show were ever to ask me to be back on, of course I would do that in a heartbeat. It's a lot of fun. As I said, you know, the people are a lot of fun. It's an extreme challenge to my skill sets and to my everything that you're trying to accomplish as an actor is tested very very deeply when you get when you're doing daytime.
I mean, I totally agree with you, but I just think, okay, to be honest, I don't want any bad emails, people. I'm a little bored because the Olympics are on, and though I have like 1,000 shows I could be watching, is the fact that the Olympics seem like forever. So mm-hmm. That is, you know, kind of, you know, and it's like I said in the beginning, last summer for me, I don't know about you, but I was home all summer long. I was on the show all summer long, and we did about 200 interviews. You know, we were probably 19 months of this whole call with the virus because no one could say no, that they were busy. Now I'm getting the no, we are going on vacation stories. So it's a little different. So how did you survive last year with the virus and you were stuck at home? How did you survive that?
Well, I was very grateful to be here in Eastern Massachusetts now, just outside of Boston. I had, I was taking a writing course when everything began to get shut down in Boston. I've been, you know, writing a lot. You know, my wife is she teaches theater here in the Boston area, and I think so many things, you know, theater was shut down, everything was shut down, and I essentially just, you know, settled into an existence with my wife in our home here, and I started to garden very seriously, having a very good time out in the garden. And, you know, I think that we survived it well with good humor we were doing a lot of reading, the kind of reading that we didn't have time before with. And trying not to, I think most of the time we were just scared, like I think most everybody in the world, just scared and trying to manage our existence. We're very lucky that my wife was able to hold on to her job. And you know, I did do a little bit of work on Zoom. You know, I did some play readings and. I got very tired of that very quickly. I stopped enjoying doing that because, you know, theater or even television and film, you need to be part of a team. So, but we did okay.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, weird, but really weird that, you know, I never thought it would last as long as it did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now the other virus is coming, and I'm like, okay, people shut me down again. But no, I'm not really going anywhere because I live in Seattle, and we were the first people to get it. So my feeling is, with my luck, we probably will get it again. So, yes. You know,
yeah.
So, okay, I will confess, I was at the routines a lot. It was great. You know, you don't want to know how many days I had a skip school for your actors. All of your actors, I did it for you guys, you know, because my VCR will run out, and I did not trust my VCR. So
yeah.
I saw you a bit on, I saw you more on at the routines than I did Guiding Light, only because Guiding Light was on the same time as in the hospital. So, you know, it kind of made me pick what show to watch, but when you were on Another Road as Ryan, that was a crazy storyline for you for a while, right? Because Ryan and Jake, right? And something was crazy about it, right?
Oh, there were lots of different really fun storylines. I enjoyed it. Obviously, whenever you're wrapped up in something, it's hard to see the value of it when you're actually involved in it. I had so much fun working with Mark Pinter and Tommy Eplin and Jensen, and when you think about the quality of the actors that I got to work with, Charles Keating and Ruben Santiago Hudson and Alicia, I mean, just really remarkable, wonderful people and extraordinary actors, and I also have to say the directors were phenomenal. They really taught me an extraordinary amount. When I got out of conservatory, I actually wasn't even finished with conservatory. I was a very young man when I got on Another World and started working opposite Annie Haish. And I didn't really know what I was doing. And I was carried along by a lot of the directors and the stage managers and the crew. They helped me find Ryan. They helped me find, they helped me with skill sets. I was taking lessons from the great Barbara Berger, she played, Bridget, the Scottish maid. She helped me an awful lot with, camera acting, television acting, soap opera acting, script breakdown. She was really, extraordinary. And they all helped. Annie did not help too much. Annie was busy being Annie, and Annie was exceptionally, she was ridiculously talented, and she had a huge amount on her plate. She had huge storylines. She was playing two different characters.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So she was, Annie had her thing going, and I basically airdropped in and tried to keep up with her. She was pretty remarkable.
I think all of that, was so great on that show. And I never thought it would be off air. I never imagined at the routines, Guiding Light leaving a year apart, No, I mean, you know, did they kick you guys in the shin because I couldn't say something else? But they had to go and do it on April Fool's Day, both years, and I'm like, okay, you know, that wasn't very nice of them to, you know, and they do that with One Life for Living on my children, too. And so I'm like, wait a moment. You guys should not pull April Fool's book when something is actually being canceled, in my humble opinion. But no one listened to me on it. So, yeah.
Well, there were a lot of financial pressures. I'm not a producer. I'm not a what the costs were and what they were making and you know what the margins were. It was a wonderful time though, you know, in America, and I know that you know that I think it the. You know, the show itself, no matter what or who they had on, the daytime, the circumstances, the money that needed to be made, the commercials that needed to be sold, all that kind of stuff, it was just, it just became too complicated. But I'm very grateful for the fact that, you know, I got a chance to be a part of it for so long. I really am, you know, I was on for close to 5.5 years and, actually don't regret leaving the show, at all. I was able to, do an awful lot of really, I was able to go on Broadway and I was able to do a little singing and dancing and, you know, some other shows. I think that's a blessing. I do, because I know an awful lot of really marvelous, wonderful people that never did actors who just the industry, the business never broke their way. I think what I was able to accomplish and what I was able to be a part of, is I'm super grateful for, because it's a rare thing to have the kind of career that I did. So.
Well, yeah, but like, I mean, you know, I mean, it was the one time we had, you know, 16 soap operas, then it went down to 8, and then the 8 went down to 4. Like,
right.
It was like a domino, really bad effect, you know, for the daytime mode. And I still blame O.J. Simpson on all of this.
Yes.
If his trial did not happen, Paul, I don't think daytime would have been in that much trouble as it was. But... you know, so
well, it definitely contributed. It was definitely a big contributor to the demise of daytime as we knew it. But there, I mean, I think there were a lot of other facets and aspects too.
I think that
you know, long-term, long arc storytelling is coming back, and that's really cool. I think that what I love to see is the fact that daytime, the soap opera format, the styles, the aesthetics, you can see how it has affected television and movies in terms of the franchises that you're seeing. There's an essence, there's a seed of soap opera in, I think, a lot of television and film today, so...
I totally agree. And I think also what people forget that Procter & Gamble had a lot of stake in this, and they were tired of, you know, doing the soap. So, and it costs less to to do a talk show than a soap, which I don't get at all, but, you know, but, okay, so I have to. I have to, as a Blue Bloods fan, which I love, and Law and Order SUV, who, you know, I need because of one last season. But, first of all, I was looking at Blue Bloods because I love Blue Bloods. I think it's one of the greatest TV shows ever to be invented.
Well, it was, yeah, I had a... I had a really good time with the actors that I got to linger with, but it's very interesting. I was the crew, the producers and the makeup artists and the hair stylists and a lot of the lighting technicians and a lot of the camera operators. Where they were old friends of mine from the Another World days. So I spent a lot of days on the set hanging out, drinking coffee with my old friends from Another World. And every once in a while, someone would come over and say, oh, you've got to, you know, you've got to act now, or you've got to be doing a scene. And I'd actually, we would laugh because I was laughing about the fact that I, you know, the show was getting in the way of my reunion with all of my friends. It was a lot of fun. The people, you know, TV stars can be weird. TV stars, the really big TV stars, can be a little
crazy,
distant, and that's okay. You know, I get it. I mean, I've worked with a lot of different people, and sometimes the actors are more friendly and sometimes they're less friendly. I felt like the crew on Blue Bloods was very, very friendly, but the actors were very, they were, I wouldn't call them mean, but they didn't spend any time with anybody. Certainly not myself. But like when I was on Elementary, you know, Johnny Lee Miller and Aidan Quinn and Lucy Liu, they were wonderful. They were really wonderful, good, down home, very friendly, very open. We had a lot of laughs. We talked a lot about, you know, a lot of mutual friends. The support staff and the crew on Elementary were really fantastic, and I learned an awful lot about, you know, once again, I try to always learn something when I get on a set, so that I can sort of keep my mind alive and awake, and so that my performance sort of takes care of itself if I'm focusing on something other than if I start thinking about my performance too much, it gets bad. I had a really good time with Elementary. That was fun. I had a really good time with the folks from Law and Order SVU. That was that was a nice group of actors as well. Nice group of a nice crew. But you know, things in the Law and Order world were always very high pressured. Everything was moving very, very, very quickly, and there was a lot of money being spent all the time. So I enjoyed that show as well. For the most part, I've always really enjoyed New York television and film. Mm-hmm. I've always enjoyed the people that work on the New York sets a lot more. I've never had a very good time out in LA. So I have a lot of friends out there, but the work that I've done out in Hollywood has never been very good. And I'd love to try again. I'd love to give it another swing, but I think my heart and my head lives in New York.
You know, oh, and by the way, I didn't mean the word to, I meant another word. That's where my mind was going. But Tuesday, and, you know, I just think, oh, it's AIDS. So I'm sorry about that. But another word was, you know, great. It's still great if it was on TV today. So I just want to mention, yes, I made a turning bubble people. But you know who I was talking about. So I apologize for not going to drive me crazy, like a lot of things do. How was, so you said the blood. So you said it was just, you know, not everyone was friendly. But by any chance, did you end up working with, even seeing Donnie Wahlberg? Because Donnie Wahlberg knew Kids on the Block. And then transformed to Blue Blood really well. You know, I just love that. I mean, I love the fact that, you know, you've been on so many things, and I've got to love my host on, my co-host on in a minute, but I want to know about One Life to Live really quick, because you were on there for like a minute. How was that?
Oh, One Life to Live was lovely. I think I had a very good time, because the One Life to Live, I believe I played the photographer, and I was working with Charles Bush, who's an iconic theater person in New York City, and that one of the great things about being working in New York City in the soap opera world is you know, I got a chance to work with some really, some extraordinary, huge theater talent based in, big Broadway talent, Oscar winners and Tony winners and people who had done all this, people who had done theater in England, and people who had done theater in New York. And Charles Bush was wonderful. We shared a dressing room together, and we had a lot of laughs and a lot of giggles. I don't know how successful we were with, because we both were making very big choices. And we were swinging for the fences, and maybe it was a little bit too big. Maybe it was, maybe we couldn't sustain it. But I thought he was wonderful, and I thought the character that he plays, both on Broadway and in his movies, and also the one that he brought to One Life to Live, was just wonderful, remarkable, I had a great time. And once again, there were a lot of old school, the executive producers and the directors were people that I knew very well from my Another World days. So had a really nice time running around with them in the One Life to Live studios.
Well, yeah. And I just want to see you back, you know, anytime, anywhere, on any show. And you have to come back, because I feel we need a part two. Part two to get you back. And by the way, I love you, PR person, darling. She is, I wanted to give the biggest shout out to one of the nicest publicists ever. She is a doll. She is amazing, and I just wanted everyone to know that. So, and yeah. And so if I don't bring on Bobby, then I'm in trouble. Well, not trouble, trouble, just a little trouble. Hey, Bobby. Bobby? Bobby? Oh, there you go. Hey, Bobby. Bobby? Oh, this is weird. Okay, well, I will wait for Bobby to call back in. And so, in the meantime, before, until Bobby, you know, calls back in. So, what do you, oh, here he is. Okay. Hey, Bobby,
can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay,
yes.
How are you doing, Paul? Hello?
Paul?
Hello? Paul?
Paul?
What happened?
And Paul, are you on? Paul? Hey, Paul?
What's happened?
Hey, Paul, can you hear us?
Carly, can you hear me?
Yeah. Paul, are you there? Okay,
there's... I don't know what's wrong with these phones.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Oh, good. You can hear me, yes?
Yeah. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
So, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Now, you was on Another World at the same time that Linda Danico was on, and you was also on One Life to Live. You happened to work with... Now, were you on the same time that Linda was on when she was Ray on One Life to Live, or was this before?
Ask the question one more time.
Were you on One Life to Live the same time that Linda Danico was Felicia on Another World at the same time you was on that show?
Oh, I don't
know.
You
do have, like, a mini reunion on One Life to Live, even though when she was Ray back
yeah.
in the day.
Yeah, I don't. We didn't run into each other in the television studio. You know, I didn't actually run into any of the actors at One Life to Live. I only hung out with the directors and the producers. That was the group. But no, I didn't actually get a chance to say hello to Linda.
Yeah, because I know that you worked with her on Another World. And I didn't know you had like a little bit of a reunion when she came over to One Life to Live, and at the same time that you did your day bit.
Yeah, it would have been wonderful, but we didn't get a chance to. That's too bad.
Because, have you kept in touch with Anne Hayes since she became a big time movie star?
You know, Annie and I, when she left the show, we saw each other in New York City. We went, there was a big NBC function, and we were at, it was on one of the, there was this big ocean liner, and it was a big party for NBC, and I saw Annie, and Annie and I actually had a very nice dance together. We
right.
went out on the dance floor, and it was a waltz, and she and I shared a couple of laps and a couple of steps on the ballroom floor, and that's the last time I saw her or talked to her. You know, Annie, you know, when people when they become big stars like Annie did, you know, it becomes very it's difficult to continue to be friends or to be colleagues.
Right.
after when they become, because she really, really, really became a very, very big, big star. So
right, because you were working in the same building that David Letterman and later Conan O'Brien was working in over on NBC at the time, and I didn't know if Ann would run in and just say hi to the old gang at another world between promoting movies on David Letterman or Conan O'Brien at the time.
Yeah, so we were in a television studio which was out in Brooklyn, and Conan O'Brien and David Letterman those were in Manhattan. So they were both in New York, but it turns out that they're pretty far away. She wouldn't have come running over even when she was guest starring on those TV shows.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But I just hope you have a great night. And like Carly says, you're welcome back to daytime anytime.
Well,
you're welcome back
from
to
your
show,
lips to God's ears, that would be lovely.
I hope you get back to daytime.
Yeah,
okay, thank
we
you.
We love you. And Carly, you know, has been watching you for over 30 years. So please come back. And when you have something to promote, please tell Darlene, to let me know, and we will get you on as soon as, you know, we can. And also, are you on Twitter? I was trying to find you on Twitter all day. Are you not on Twitter, are you?
I think I'm on Twitter. I can't remember what my... I think it's just Paul M. Valley on Twitter, so.
Okay, well, I'm going to find it, and mine is daytime 69786. So, yes, once I find that, then you can follow me on Twitter, and for your information tonight, the show will be downloaded, but you can hear yourself if you want to, but please, Paul, please come back because we totally love you.
Oh, that's kind of you, and hopefully I do. It would be nice. When I do, or if I do, then I'll give you a call and let you know.
Okay. Have a great night.
Thank you so much. You have a good one too.
Okay.
Good night, Paul.
Good night.
Okay, so, people.
I don't know what was wrong earlier with the phone calls when you let me on.
You know what, Bobby, I hope you're not mad at me that I hung up because I wanted you to call back in because I thought about my work. So, I'm always honest with you,
Okay, I understand. I just didn't know there was a technical issue with blog talks or whatever.
Really, you and I are loyal to each other to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
So I just didn't want you to think I would ever hang up on you. No, I was just trying to get you, back on the air. So please don't think I did, I was ignoring
right.
you because I would never ignore you.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Yeah, it turns
into
a typical talk to with an interviewer into a full-time role, and I've been on with Maggie for a long time.
Yeah,
and
right.
I understand that she and the other
like
girls didn't
years,
make it
Brian.
Tonight. I understand. So,
it's been like 8 years, right?
Yeah, it's been that long.
Oh, my God. Well, okay, so here's a couple of announcements. We have, like I said that, we will be having guests, we will be having some guests, throughout the summer. I mean, the summer's almost over. I don't want to think about that. And I love the hot weather. It's been so hot here has been actually nice. And we are going on a 47th day of, 52 days of no rain. What about you, Bobby?
Well, first we got the smoke from you guys, that's haze, and today we got the rain and the cool weather, so I'm just kind of like, well, I'll trade you your weather for mine.
Is this weird that, it's crazy the summer, isn't it? But now when, now they have came up with another virus. You heard about this, right?
I heard about the variant. And I heard about possibly about going back to masks. But the reason why I said earlier, did you get General Hospital in Seattle in its entirety, did it break in for the last 10 minutes because of Joe Biden's press conference?
And there are rumors, and I think we are getting the fourth stimulus check. I think we are. I read that somewhere. I hope that's true. Have you read anything about that, Bobby?
I don't know nothing about it, but this is breaking news to me. But I found out over the weekend that once I get the green light to go back to work, I'm gonna be definitely coming back to work. So it might be some days if we have interviews with child actors at 3 o'clock my time or 4 o'clock my time that I'll be unavailable, and then there might be some days that I might. And the same holds true with some of the Fridays once I start going back out.
Let's just communicate the way I would do, you know. But please be careful, Edward, please. Because right now, you know, they are calling the Delta thing, like, if you got the chicken pox, which I already did, thank you very much. I don't know if you ever got the chicken pox.
I did.
As a kid. Oh, you did too.
As a kid.
How old were you?
I don't remember. Probably about 8 or 9.
What?
Probably about 8 or 9.
Oh, okay. I was 11. Yep. And then I had 2 casts on my legs. So, you know, once they thought I could go back to school because I wasn't contagious anymore. Then when they took the cast off both of my feet, well, I still had the chicken pox, so I was still contagious. I was okay with missing school. I really was. You know, and I just want to say a couple of things. I don't know if we've been on the air since Stu Damon died. Have we?
I think we were on there for one show, but you didn't mention it until the last show, and we just lost another General Hospital family member just over the weekend.
Yeah,
Because I didn't know anything about Jay's death until after I went on Marie Wilson's Instagram, and I didn't know if he was retiring from acting at first or did he pass away, and then I found his
pathway. He was on the set. He was on the set doing a movie. And, you know, and then bam, he, you know, something was his heart. And, something with his heart that I do work, and you know what's funny, but not funny, he lived in Spokane, Washington, which is like 5 hours away from me, by the way, people. And so, you know, the Dies of Life in the Idaho movie, it was called Tressa Valley. And, it's taking the daytime word to the call. Losing people. I mean, we've lost too many good people in the last couple of years, haven't we, Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, don't get me started on, who we lost. Like, every time I count, it gets more, upsetting because it feels like, it feels strange to, go that fast. So I just want to let everyone know next Friday night we are having a show for Zay Pickett, and I'm working on some of his cast members calling in and everything. So, Bobby, I need you also.
There because it looks like they're just going to just try to let me in for work only, but I'll be there.
Yeah, but, I'm going to have my friend do the banner and everything. And so, this is kind of nice. So, I don't know if we will have it so Friday. It's just so hot. Right now my brain is not there. So what are you doing for the rest of the night?
Nothing much. I'm just going to probably just take it easy and then go to bed a little bit later on.
You're the only person I've ever met that goes to bed so dang early.
Well, so like 11 o'clock at night before I go to bed where I am.
Like Catherine, who's terrible, that's why she didn't call in. And Maggie wasn't feeling well. And we were at both. The three of us are night owls. The three of us love to stay up, And, what are you going to have for dinner?
Well, I already had dinner. I had chicken fried steak.
My ear is chicken fried steak. Okay, don't laugh at me. Honestly, I never had it. So, yeah, what is chicken fried steak, Bobby? Can you
explain? Well, it was chicken with white gravy. It was like a breaded chicken patty with white gravy.
Oh, okay. Well, because...
Like what you put on your biscuits. I know it's more of a southern thing from where I am than it is where you are in Seattle.
Yeah,
but what you put on your biscuits?
The East Coast, West Coast, Central Time, sometimes we don't have everyone of the states have the same food category. Or called the same thing because growing up on the farm, my grandparents' farm, it was called breakfast, and then they called supper for dinner. And, breakfast, supper, and dinner, but they never said lunch. It was really weird. So, how do you guys call it where you live?
I've never done college, done a couple of semesters as a technical college.
Well, see, we got, like Davenport, if I told you to say a Davenport, what would you think? That word. What do you think that word means?
I was thinking that might be a city in Washington.
I know. No, a Davenport, actually, on the West Coast, is called a sofa.
Oh.
Yes, I know. But, you guys, we had a great show, and we will be back on whenever I make the show, and Bobby and I will communicate, so... And now I just remember I haven't eaten anything today. And so my mom made me a bath of fajita taco mix for dinner. So, yes. So, yeah. So, just you guys be safe down there. Still wear your mask. You know, don't stalk people either. That's really unnecessary. And don't bully anyone, right, Bobby?
Right.
And have a great night, Bobby, and we will see you on the next show.
Okay, have a good night.
Okay, night. Bye.